Shane Van Gisbergen decimates the competition at Watkins Glen. William Byron strengthens his hold on the regular season championship. And Connor Zilich takes a tumble in victory lane. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
So happy that you're joining us. We've got a full panel today back from Wild Adventures in South Dakota. Brad Gilley joins us. Alexis Erickson and I just hung out in Piedmont, North Carolina. We didn't do anything really special. I think we might have drug town in Mooresville. And, of course, Kyle Petty is with us. You're back from a vacay, aren't you?
So here's the thing. I learned this week. If you go someplace and you leave your house when it's dark and you get home again when it's dark, if you have to wash clothes while you're there, if you have to wash dishes while you're there, it's called a trip. It's not called a vacation. So I was on a trip to Colorado. I was not on vacation because I had to do all of the above. Leave in the middle of the night, wash dishes, wash clothes while I was there. So I was on a trip.
A trip. That's the more
it.
You know.
Yeah, that's it. I'm just want to clarify. A vacation is a beach chair and a cocktail.
Right. Okay. Somebody else doing your dishes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I never saw any of that.
Sure. And no laundry.
No laundry. No laundry, man.
You realize you always have to do laundry unless you're sitting around your house naked.
Oh, my gosh.
That is a great. I don't know about the visual, but that is a great.
I mean,
that's a great point.
Yeah,
where are we going here?
Always more laundry.
There's always more laundry. It never stops.
Yeah. So there's only way you can stop that, and we've already touched on that.
Yes.
All right. Shane Van Gisbergen just won his fourth straight road course race in 2025. Well documented. He has five wins overall in his career. It's pretty sensational. Kyle, in your time in the racing world, have you seen anything comparable to what SVG's pulling off?
So you know what? I think what he's doing is incredibly impressive. I'm just going to give you the impressive. That's is he the greatest of all time? And is this the greatest feat we've ever seen? No, I think we saw Jeff Gordon win six in a row or something like that. I think we've seen other guys win three or four in a row. I go back to Gurney winning at Riverside. Every time you showed up at Riverside, Gurney seemed to win. So we've had these blips on the radar screen. And I listened to the race on – I watched the race on TV, and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's run four races in a row. And so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game to be able to compete with him. And I don't think we've seen that. I don't think anybody changed their game to try to compete with Jeff Gordon because they thought they could compete with him. I don't think people changed the game to try to compete with Marcus Ambrose or guys like that. Look, I look at what Marcus did as a little bit more impressive because I think Marcus Ambrose took a mid-level car, whether it was Richard Petty Motorsports or, you know, JTG Racing, and won races with it. This car should be winning races. This is a car that should be winning races. I think he does a phenomenal job, and that's why I said it's impressive.
Brad Gilley, do we hold off on giving SVG the GOAT title right now as far as road course racing is concerned?
Yeah, let's not get ahead of our skis. Is he on his way there? Possibly. But again, you know, it's hard for me to compare anything. I don't want to say that Richard Petty was the greatest driver ever, or that Dale Earnhardt or David Pearson or Bobby Allison were the greatest drivers ever singularly. I think you take some people and you put them in a room as the greatest of all time. And I think Shane Van Gisbergen is working his way there. But I don't take away from Jeff Gordon. I don't take away from Tony Stewart or Dan Gurney or Mark Martin or Rusty or a lot of people who were very strong on road courses as well. I just don't think you can do that. Is he the greatest right now? Absolutely, he is. But we've also seen greatness from Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson on road courses in recent history as well.
I think because people love to compare things, we always want to
have the
debate on who is the greatest of all time. But taking from what Kyle said and what Brad said, there's so many variables in the different eras and the different times that we're talking about. It's not, you're not comparing apples to apples.
It's not apples.
You know, so it's almost impossible to do that. I kind of like what you said, Brad, where you said, you know, maybe you have a handful of these guys and you put them in a room together because you know, you look at what's happening now with SVG and you think about the fact that these cars are all supposed to be similar and they're all supposed to be on even playing fields. I think we've seen since this car has come out, that's somewhat true, not completely true. So it is very impressive that it, in what would be considered potentially equal equipment, he's able to go out. And at sometimes it seems like he's even toying with the competition.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but at the same time, it's just hard to compare if this is better than what we saw from Jeff Gordon or Tony Stewart or anybody else.
Yeah, and I want to say this. Listening yesterday, you know, a couple of things. He and Ross Chastain left pit road at the same time on that last stop. And he drove away 18, 20 seconds. I don't know. He just drove off. And he seems to be able to get to a place and just maintain. So how good is he? Or how much can he do? I'm not sure that any of us have seen that yet, number one. Number two, I look at some of this stuff and I listened to Jeff Burton yesterday complain about how the Cup drivers – how are they going to catch up with this guy if they don't get the test, if they don't get to go run? Let me tell you something. They're never going to catch up with this guy. And I'm going to give you a Davis Love III thing that he told us about playing golf one day. He said he hit more balls before he was 6 years old than I'm ever going to hit in my lifetime. And he's exactly right. I'm never going to catch up with Davis Love. I'm never going to catch up with a guy who has spent his whole life running road courses. On the reverse side of that coin, I don't believe Shane is ever going to catch up to Christopher Bell and these guys on the ovals. He may win a race or two, but he may go. Think about this. What if Shane Van Gisbergen wins 15 or 20 races in his career and they're all road courses? What are we going to say then? You know, how are you going to look at that then? So I think there's so many variables to this story. Like Brad just said, let's pump the brakes on the greatness and all this stuff and see how this plays out.
I'm interested in how this plays out in the long run this year. And we talked about this on the show before, but he's hitting all the marks to maybe make a play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not going to win the championship, okay?
No.
Not happening. Not this year. But the way that races line up and the fact that now he's got, I think, 22 playoff points, if he just doesn't self-destruct in the first round, he gets to the round of 12.
Well, it just goes to show that, I mean, to kind of go off what you were saying, Kyle, he's changing the way things happen because he was picked specifically put in that car because Justin Marks and team around him knew that he could go out and win races and that there were so many road courses on the schedule that he could not only win races to get that car in the playoffs, but that he could pad his playoff points to maybe make a potentially deep run in the playoffs. So changing the way that owners are even looking at who they're putting in their car and why.
Yeah, and look, two things on to that point. I think they put him in a car so he could win races. When you walk into a potential partner and a potential sponsor as an organization and you've got wins in your category, no matter where they're at, that's big. So he's able to go in and sell Ross Chastain better, to sell whatever driver he puts in the car that Daniel drives now, whatever that may be. That's an issue. But I think when you look at him making a run in the playoffs, I don't think it's about how far he can go. I think it's about who does he knock out?
Yeah.
Who does he eliminate? That might have had a chance to go a little bit farther.
So, Brad, playing off what Kyle said, how far can he go, keeping in mind that the Roval is the final race in the second round?
Well, that's exactly it. And I think people look at the Roval and say, okay, he should be able to make it into the round of eight. He could make it to the round of eight. Maybe should is a strong word. But I agree. The first round is the don't screw up round. Someone's going to have problems. People are going to have mechanical issues, whatever it's going to be. And with at least 22 playoffs points, he's going to be in a fairly good spot to be able to advance to the next round. But, you know, the next round is not necessarily a walk in the park either. You know, he talks about some of these tracks where, you know, he's been racing and what he's got to do to be able to be successful. I don't know that I'm going to give him, a lot of the success unless he goes and wins the Roval. And I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think he gets to the round of eight on points. I think he gets to the round of eight only if he wins the Roval. And at a certain point, his competitors are going to be pretty tired of him winning. And, there are a lot of different ways to keep someone out of victory lane.
They can't get to him.
That's a good point.
They can't get to it. I mean, Ron Blaney said the other day, are you learning anything? He goes, no, because he's way far ahead of me.
Well, he won by, what, 11 seconds yesterday? Won Mexico City by, like, 20 seconds or something crazy. Yeah.
And there is no reason right now to think that anybody else but Shane Van Gisbergen is going to win the Roval. And everybody's going, oh, well, Ty Gibbs is good here, and A.J. Allmendinger used to be good, and somebody else won a road course race back in the 50s. It doesn't matter right now.
That's true. That's true. Listen, I agree.
He's a juggernaut.
It doesn't
whatever
matter.
That is.
At this point in time, it doesn't matter.
No.
Because what he's doing on so many different types of road courses, whether it be whether it be something that the Cup drivers are familiar with, whether it be a new racetrack, whether it be in Mexico City, whatever it may be, he is the guy.
Yeah. And we didn't talk a lot about the race because the race was Shane Van Gisbergen.
Yes.
He controlled that race from start to finish. And I think the most telling part of the race was the fact that Ryan Blaney started on the pole and SVG just let him go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'll catch up to you when I need to.
Yeah. When it's my time, it'll be my time. That's exactly
right. That's what's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was toying with him.
Yeah.
Alexis made that point earlier, and he did it to perfection. Let's give you our Toyota top performers, the top-performing Toyota at Watkins Glen. Christopher Bell came home runner-up. Chase Briscoe, who's really putting on a nice charge here as we get toward the end of the regular season, was fifth. In eighth was going to be Bubba Wallace. Bubba's quietly putting together a nice little streak here, too. And next in line, it's going to be Tyler Reddick back down in 12th. Eric Jones. Denny Hamlin, who never was pointed in the right direction, was 25th. John Hunter Nemechek, 32nd. 33rd goes to the much ballyhooed Ty Gibbs, who had a rough day on Sunday at the Glen. And that is our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. When we come back, we'll look at the regular season points championship. Might be done.
Here's what you missed last week on Toyota Gazoo Racing. Bubba was totally... as he... around the pack, managing to... across the finish line to claim me in victory lane. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickinshire on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race, or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
JC's Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Talked a lot about Shane Van Gisbergen, as well as we should. What he's doing is historical. I think it's also creating some hysteria in other quarters.
Disturbance in the force.
Yeah, maybe. It certainly has. Brad Gilley, William Byron, wins Daytona. It took him a while to get back to victory lane, but he won again recently. Two wins now, and it looks like this regular season title, barring something totally unforeseen, is going to give him a heck of an advantage heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, right now he is 42 points ahead of Chase Elliott. And there are still two races to go in the regular season. And look, I know anything can happen. Richmond, maybe, maybe not. Daytona, quite possibly. 42 points to me isn't necessarily a runway. But I think the bigger thing for William Byron that he really needs right now in this regular season championship is the fact that he has 17 playoffs points. And for that, if he should win the regular season and not get any more playoffs points between now and then, that would put him at 32. And that's something he needs because you have other drivers like Denny Hamlin with 24. You've got Kyle Larson with 23, Shane Van Gisbergen with 22. And really, when you start to compare him to those drivers, I think that's a bit of a deficiency by comparison for a team that is on top of the point standings right now. So I think they need that bigger boost, and he's got to hang on to this regular season title.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing, and you're right, I think 42 points, you look at it with the amount of races and stuff. But I think the big thing for me is, you know, we sat here at the same desk three or four weeks ago, and Mr. Most Popular had taken over the lead of the regular season. And he's come from 7 points behind to 42 ahead in a very short period of time against Chase Elliott and against the rest of the field. That's what's most impressive to me about where William Byron is right now, is they went through that lull. Are they building that momentum and peaking at the right time to be able to roll into the playoffs in the last 12, 13, 14 races of the season to be that guy when we get to Phoenix?
Well, you talk about William Byron needing those points at 17 right now. Chase Elliott, who's trying to catch up to him, has 6 playoff points. If anybody needs those 15 playoff
points,
Chase Elliott.
That's because just because you finish in the top 20 every week, they don't get
Not
bonus
anymore.
Points.
Yep.
Not anymore.
No, they lost that
yesterday.
That glorious
no
mantle.
No way, that went away?
Yeah.
What a great
With
stat. A, what a great stat.
Where did
I'm going to miss
26th
that.
26th place.
I'm going to miss that. Yeah. I'm going to miss that top 20 mm-hmm. stat. I'm going to miss it.
Yep.
If you missed it on a previous show, Kyle went off about the fact that we're even talking about somebody finishing in the top 20,
oh my
which
goodness,
he should every race.
Yes. He should fall off the truck and finish in the top 20.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a Hendrick car. He's Chase Elliott, and it's a Hendrick car. He should fall off the truck and finish in the top 20.
Brad, for the legions of Chase Elliott fans, I think they have a reason to be concerned. As Alexis pointed out, he has 6 playoff points. There's only 2 races left to go. He's not going to go in anywhere close to the rest of these teams that are have the 20s and the 24-point cushions.
No. I mean, right now, again, if the regular season were to end, he would be at 16 with the extra 10 that he would get for being runner-up. But what's more concerning, and I know they went to victory lane, and that was a really cool win for them and all of those other things, and that was a great deal. But the fact of the matter is, you're not going to make it through the rounds. You might make it through the first round. You might make it through the second round. You're not going to make the championship four, in my opinion, unless you're winning races. Look what happened last year. William Byron was the only driver in the championship four that did not win in the round of 8. All of the other drivers did. Joey Logano, Tyler Reddick, Ryan Blaney from behind the cut line. The only driver that made it in on points was William Byron, so they're not going to points their way through into the championship round. Just not going to happen.
Kyle, last year, the last 3 years, the title has belonged to Team Penske.
Yeah.
They're going to have to find that late season magic again if they want to make that a 4-season run. It inertly doesn't feel like it's there.
Okay, but that's basically the same thing we've said for the last 3 years.
I realize
too.
That.
You know what I mean? Honestly, and I don't know how, you know, we talked about, we used to talk about Jimmy Johnson and how he raced the playoffs. And I think you have to talk, we talk about the Penske group as a whole, how they race the playoffs. And they just seem to put themselves in the right position. We know that the 12 car of Ryan Blaney has speed. It has speed week in and week out. I've just not seen speed from Joey. That is the one thing that concerns me about the 22 car and the inconsistency of Cindric when you look at him. But when you look at the 22 car of Joey Logano, you know, they've just not – when they've missed like Denny Hamlin's missed. They've been 28th, 29th place cars. When they've been in competition and able to run up front, they've not had enough to get the W. They've had enough to finish second, enough to finish in the top five, but not enough to get it. So it doesn't feel that way this year like maybe it has in the past.
Alexis, are we making a mistake if we take our eye off Joey Logano?
Yes, I think so. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. No matter what has happened or preceded, you know, the playoffs this year, that team is always going to be one that you kind of have to keep your eyes on. I mean, he's a three-time champion for a reason. Now, I will say, I agree with Kyle that it's been kind of strange to see him. Even last year, I mean, they didn't have a great run up until the playoffs, and then the playoffs they, you know, obviously catapulted to be able to get that third championship. But like yesterday, I just had to look at the rundown and even see where he finished because nobody talked about him really yesterday. And when you're not being talked about, it means you're not doing anything to get yourself seen. And so I think they definitely have some work to do, but I would never, ever count out Joey Logano in the 22 team.
Well, last year, kind of like the Beatles song, he came in through the bathroom window.
Right.
Yeah.
Sort of made it in. Yeah.
A technicality.
Yeah. But once they got in and we sat right here at this desk and said, that's bad news for
everybody else. That's right. That's right. Because you've let the fox in the hen house. Yeah. That's exactly right. This is the thing we talk about all the time. We talk about it on this show. We talk about it, you know, when we're together and you're discussing drivers and you're discussing teams, is that you can't see that desire. You can't see that will to win and what they do. Joey and Paul Wolf and the Penske organization, when it comes time, crunch time, they just go to a different place. They have that capabilities of grabbing another gear sometimes and going. You saw it with the Celtics and the Lakers. You saw it at different times in other sports. They can just go to another place. So that's what makes them dangerous.
All right, we'll see how all of this plays out. Connor Zilich takes a tumble in victory lane. Everybody held their collective breaths. We'll talk about that and the fact that if there is an SVG challenger out there, he may be it. We'll do that next.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. And I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner, the official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside. Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
In one of the more bizarre twists to a race ending, we watched Connor Zilich outdueled the field this past Saturday at Watkins Glen to capture his sixth victory of the year. This sensational 19-year-old has really caught a lot of folks' imagination. He is the only driver we have seen this year that outduels Shane Van Gisbergen. He did that in the Xfinity race at Sonoma. Then he climbs up on the window of his car in Victory Lane. His foot slips. He takes a tumble. It was a horrific sight. By the way, props to the folks on the CW for how they handled that in live time with him tumbling. And we were left for our imagination about how serious he was injured. Thankfully, he was okay and suffered a broken collarbone, and we don't know, we've not been told definitive, how long he will be out of action. The good thing is, this coming weekend, there is no Xfinity race, so he gets a weekend off. Hopefully, that helps him recover quickly. Kyle Petty, you were telling me during the break that you have some experience with a broken collarbone.
Yes, I do. I hit right here at turn four and broke my left collarbone and dislocated my right. All in the same crash. Couldn't lift my arms to get out of the car. And they took me over here to the hospital and tied me to a pole and popped my right collarbone back in. I went to my knees. But it was as painful. It was as painful as a rib when it first happened. But within a week or so, it was pretty decent. It was tough to pull your seatbelts tight over it. You know what I mean? Where it was broken. It was fractured. I'll say mine was fractured. Mine wasn't broken. Mine was more fractured. So I don't know how bad his is broken or where it's at. But it's still, you got to think about those belts coming across your collarbones, coming down in the seats we have now and the protocol that NASCAR has. I'm not sure they let you drive like they used to let us crawl in with cast on our legs and, you know, arms in slings.
Tape
and
hold
stuff
your eyes
like
open.
Yeah. I tell the story. My dad had drove at Talladega with a screw in the top of his helmet that went up to a pulley that went over to the door that had weights hanging on it to keep his neck in traction when he broke his neck. So he went out and he started the race at Talladega and he ran like 10 or 15 laps and then they caught a caution and he got out and Joe Milliken got in. But he
That's
drove
nuts.
Like 10 or 15 laps with his neck in traction. So they used to let you do stuff like that.
Well, you hopped in a car one time with your leg in a brace.
In a brace. But you know what? You didn't think anything about it because that's what everybody did. You know what I mean? Listen, you couldn't walk through the garage area and hold your head up high if you were injured and didn't get in that car. You know what I mean? If you were injured, you had to crawl back in that car at some point in time.
Brad, I know you've been a big proponent for Connor Zilich. He's quite the talent. Half dozen wins this year. Hopefully this doesn't sideline him an opportunity to go out and win a Xfinity title.
Yeah, the tough thing is he actually took over the points lead in the Xfinity series in the regular season. And again, this was actually having missed a race already this year due to injury. One thing I found fascinating, last night in Victory Lane, Shane Van Gisbergen talked about how he had broken a collarbone and had a week off, kind of a similar situation that they put a plate in it, and he just went on and raced and got the plate taken out at the end of the season. He talked about it like it was no big deal. To Kyle's point, I can't imagine that that's no big deal and that wouldn't hurt. And by the way, the next race for the Xfinity series is at Daytona, a place where there is a high probability of having something bad happen to you potentially. So who knows what they do? You know, again, he could start the race and still gain the points and all of that, but trying to run for a regular season championship is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, but I will say this, and you talk about the high probability of something happening. The reverse side of that coin is it's probably the best place for you to go with an injury like that. The physical side of driving a race car at Daytona or at Talladega and just strapping in and sitting in that car and getting around the racetrack, it's not as physical as it would be if we were going to Bristol or if we were going to Richmond or if we were going back to another road course. So that's another plus from the healing process.
Now, obviously, we know that this was a freak accident, but do you guys think that this changes the way people might celebrate now
it did
in Victory
yesterday.
Lane? I mean, seriously, I've always kind of thought, gosh, I hope, you know, when you see these drivers get out after these grueling races and they've done all this physical work and then they get up on top of the car, or even like Carl Edwards or Daniel Hemric doing their flips, that always made me nervous. This is the first time it's really ever happened to where somebody got injured from it. But I'm just curious if it'll change the way, you know, people think about that.
Listen, I won a couple of races and was injured at the party the night after the win. I'll go ahead and say.
Well, that doesn't count.
Oh, that doesn't count. I'm sorry.
And Connor's only 19, so.
Yeah, he can't go yet. But I think when you look at it, I think people will be a little more careful, especially right now. Listen, in that moment when you've won and you're celebrating, man, it's all about that. It's all about your team. It's all about that. It's spraying the Coca-Cola or I guess the apple juice that he's spraying because he's only 19. But
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, but it's all about that at that moment. So I'm not sure how much that enters your mind.
I think he got grape juice in Victory Lane at Sonoma because he's not old enough to drink the wine. I'll address that, and this is going to come across really crass, and I'm going to sound like the
knuckle. When has that stopped you?
Yeah, here we go. Come on. Here we go.
Here we go. Man. No. How many thousands of times have drivers gone to Victory Lane, stood on the car, stood on the window, and everything was fine? Nobody got hurt. Nobody was injured.
Great point.
Thousands of times. And that one unfortunate thing, and I'm so glad he's okay, and I'm not minimizing his accident, but for everybody, well, it happened once. Can't ever do that again.
Yeah. You're a mother. Yeah. That's why you
I was going to say that. That was a mom talking.
That was a mom talking.
Ollie,
right
you
there.
Get out of Ollie, that car. Yeah. Don't you stand on that window.
Stand on the ground, Ollie. When you get out,
look,
stand
he,
on the ground.
He will not be driving. He will not be driving any race cars, so I don't have to worry about that. But yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's just something I thought about.
No,
yeah.
My wife said the same thing. You think they'll outlaw standing on the window?
I don't think they're going to outlaw it. I'm saying, would a driver think twice about doing it himself now, knowing that there was an accident that was happened? That's all. I don't think NASCAR is going to say, no, you can't do that anymore. That's crazy.
Never know.
It depends on your...
And that stops who?
Yeah, so it depends on your level of coordination. If I was Brad Kay, I might not. Stand on.
Thank we goodness, saw him play basketball. Don't have to stand on any cars.
Yeah. That's right, Brad. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm going with that.
Brad did run in the garage apparently Saturday to go get in Carson Hosovar's
face. He sprinted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get in line.
It was a short sprint, but
yeah.
Well, good for him.
Why are
good
we picking him, on though. Carson again?
Because it's low hanging.
Yeah, it is low hanging fruit. It's
very. Good. It's his year.
Yeah, it's his year.
It's
that's
his
right.
year to be whatever that is, the whipping boy from the garage area. Yeah. Have they nerfed the road courses? We'll chat about that next. Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
A NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
One of the most iconic moments in the history of the sport. Your dad and David Pearson racing for the win at Daytona 76.
I learned more from my dad in that moment than probably all the years of being his son before that. Ran that race, comes down to the last lap. Pearson passes Petty. Petty passes Pearson. My dad passes him going into turn three, sweeps up in front of him. They kind of cross over. They get together coming out of turn four. Even though they're running 180, 90, 200 miles an hour, it's the most slow motion wreck in the history of time. As you watch my dad spin and spin down into the grass, you watch Pearson's car with the front end just caved in, come to a stop. And we all leave pit road and run out to the grass. You can see it's myself, it's Barry Dodson, it's Wade Thornburg, it's Dale Inman. We run out and we push the car across the line. We didn't know that if you help the car across the line on the last lap, you're penalized the lap. So if you go back and look at that, my dad finished one lap down in the Daytona 500 that year.
Thanks a bunch for tuning in to Fast Talk. Doug Rice with Brad Gilley. We have Kyle Petty in the house along with Alexis Erickson. A full house here for this edition of Fast Talk. In the gaming universe, there is a term, and it's probably used in other places. They'll introduce a new character into a game, like Clash of Clans will have a new character, and it's the greatest character on the planet, and it destroys all the other characters. Well, immediately everybody adopts that one, and they start playing with it until the gaming company goes, well, this is too strong. We're going to tone it down, and they nerf it. So it's not as potent as it is anymore.
Got it.
Interesting.
So it's nerfed, and then you go on and you find something else that's not nerfed. To me, it feels like NASCAR has almost nerfed the restart zones at the road courses. Now, maybe I'm looking at this all wrong, but you think about that this was done at COTA. Instead of starting at the start-finish line, the restart zone is at turn 20 when they hit the front straightaway.
Yeah.
They did the same thing the last year we were at the Indy Road course. They started way back in the turns, same effect. And, of course, they did this at Watkins Glen this week and started at turn 7 instead of at the start-finish line to keep everybody from piling in and having crashes and cars going off course.
Yeah.
Thoughts? Are they saving the drivers from themselves? Is this a good thing, or did they nerf the races?
Nerfed.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I mean, we talked about this before we came on the air, and I think when you're talking about the NASCAR Cup Series, you're talking about what is proclaimed as being the best drivers, stock car drivers in the world, and you're basically telling them, well, like you said, we've got to save you from yourselves. Yeah. Think about that race yesterday. Potentially maybe a few more yellow flags would have made it a little bit more exciting. You know, I think you're absolutely right. I think moving the restart zone has had ill effect on the racing itself.
Yeah. So first I'm going to say yes. I agree with, I don't know anything about gaming. Okay,
that's fine.
I know nothing about gaming.
I saw Kyle's eyes glaze over as you start talking about Clash of Clans.
We are in calculus right now. You know what I mean? So, I know nothing about that. I am going to, but I do think, yes, it has changed the racing, and I don't think for the better. Okay, I'm going to say that. This is just Kyle's opinion. Yeah. I don't think for the better. At the same time, I'm going to say this. How much of this is NASCAR? And how much of it is the driver council saying, we want this? I can't blame all this on NASCAR because I don't have all the facts. You know what I'm saying? Because the drivers have a say in where barriers are put and when the sticky stuff is put down, whatever you want to call it. You know, I mean, they have a voice in the room now. So how much of this, how are we weighing that?
Go ahead, Brad.
Well, this is my question, and Kyle, you can tell us from experience. Like, I get COTA. You go up a hill, and you almost have a hairpin left turn.
Yeah.
Is it necessary at Watkins Glen? We've had a restart zone there for how long, and we haven't seen, like, multiple restarts because of all the chaos and carnage. Did we fix a problem that wasn't there?
I don't know. Marvin Panch and those guys got through it in 1964, so I assume we can get through it today.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Why did we change it? Yeah, you know, and they'll throw the all inclusive for safety reasons. Okay, I got you. You know, everybody wants everything to be safe. But you know, until we get the drivers out of the cars and they're sitting in the grandstands, and we go back to gaming and driving in remote control, then it's not a safe sport. But at the same time, I expect you to be able to drive and get down in that corner and not crash everybody. When I hired you, that's what I hired you for.
Now, this might be a controversial statement, but I think if you're talking about safety reasons, then you probably should have had track limits enforced this weekend and not worried about moving the restart zone.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, listen, it's a can of worms.
So let's
go back to nerfing. So
But
you're exactly right. But it is a can of worms up there. When at a lot of racetracks, one thing leads to another, everything has a ripple effect. And I think this has a ripple effect too, because I think it changes the race. And when you start doing things that change the race and change the way you race and change the outcome of the race, I think you are nerfing the race and you're nerfing the sport from that standpoint, to use that term.
I heard an interview with Erik Jones last week, and they were asking him specifically about moving the start of the race back up to turn seven. He goes, I never thought it was an issue, but a lot of guys do.
Yeah.
Meaning a lot of the drivers didn't like it. And and it may be exactly to your point, Kyle, that the drivers went and said, slow us down, protect us from ourselves. Am I off base on that, Brad?
I don't think you are. And again, I don't think it was necessary at Watkins Glen, you know, going into the first corner there. Some other tracks I sort of get, but again, to your point, and maybe, look, in the world, who knows what all, if this was a driver council thing, who knows what all that they wanted, and NASCAR said, hey, we can concede this and make it real easy and say, look, we did something for you. So, you know, but again, I don't think at Watkins Glen you need to do anything like that.
And most of the time when guys got off course, they just went out. There was a huge runoff area there. Then they drive out through the field, so to speak, rejoin the field and go right on.
Yeah, you would have thought they would have changed it when it was pea gravel and you would get stuck out there and they would have to stop, you know, that many years ago. But now with the runoff, you're exactly right.
So that's our breakdown on what happened at Watkins Glen. Coming up, a little green flag, black flag action.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things. Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here right now today to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on goprn.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Jump into green flag, black flag. Our man, Brad Gilley, has been very busy lately. He has made two trips to South Dakota. One was to get married, and then he turned around and went back for some other reason. So, Brad Gilley, why were you in South Dakota again last week?
Well, Rusty Wallace has a ride during Sturgis Week, the Rusty Wallace Ride, and it benefits the NASCAR Foundation. And I was invited up there to go on the ride, to do a show on Sirius XM. And for me, this was like a bucket list item. I'd never gone to Sturgis before. And I also was able to knock a lot of states off of my list of states that I've ridden through. So, yeah, we got back Sunday from the wedding. By Tuesday morning, I was already headed north to go up to South Dakota, which was a neat thing. But it was an amazing experience. I was there for three whole days, you know, plus a couple other days on either side of it to go right out there. And I'll tell you what, I am so happy I did. I look forward to going back, and I would encourage anyone else to go up there because it's a beautiful part of the country. I thought the whole Sturgis rally was a really neat thing. And then to be able to do something pretty special for charity was even more fun.
Yeah. Did you take that sports coat with you?
No, I did not. I left the sport. In fact, I brought one collared shirt, and thank God, because we had a dinner one night where I needed it. Actually, we had a dinner two nights. The other night, I just I had a Mount Rushmore sweatshirt on, so it worked out.
But you're right, and I'll say, I'll touch on this. You're right. It is a cool rally. It is one of the coolest places you'll ever go. The scenery that God created up there, the roads, the highways, it's phenomenal. But the biking community, the motorcycle community, is the most caring, giving community I think that you'll ever run across. They so parallel what NASCAR does and what the NASCAR drivers and the teams have done charity-wise. That's a great place to have a charity event. NASCAR, kudos to Rusty and NASCAR and everybody for doing it.
Yeah, over $475,000 were raised, which is it's just amazing. Half of that money actually stays there in South Dakota. Yeah. The other half goes to the NASCAR Foundation, and it was a really special, to your point, Kyle, a great bonding moment with fellow motorcyclists.
Well, so glad you got to do that. That is fantastic. All right, let's segue into this a little bit.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All righty. Time to achieve greatness once again, as we do every week right here. Oh, we got several prepared statements here written by overpaid writers, and we will read these. Our panel will mull them over, and they will think if they agree with it, they give it a green flag. If they disagree, it gets a black flag. If they're all in harmony and agreement, and there's peace in the world, that's it right there. Here we go. Start with Kyle Petty today. Shane Van Gisbergen will break Jeff Gordon's road course win streak of 6 in a row this season.
I don't know how many.
No, he won't break it this season. Yeah,
we only have one more this season.
Yeah, we only got one more.
It would have to go into next
black
season.
Flag. But. Black flag. Yeah, yeah. Black flag. Before I have to expound on that. Black flag.
Brad Gilley.
I will say black flag again. Definitely. NASCAR is not a fastest car contest. It's a race. And
I got you.
Might get outraced.
All right, Doug Rice.
I'm going to go conditional. He can't do it this year because he doesn't have enough races. But yeah. I think there's no reason for me to think he can't win 6 in a row. Rolling over into next year. So green flag.
Yeah, okay. Same, green flag. And until somebody else shows me otherwise, I think he is number one.
You know, Ty Gibbs is pretty good.
He wasn't yesterday.
Pretty good's not going to win.
Yeah, 33rd yesterday.
33rd. I'm sorry. I just thought I'd throw that out
That
there.
Was funny.
You're not sorry.
Every week, you know, he's really good. Well, until he wins a race.
He has a lot of speed.
He's got a lot of speed.
Until he wins a race. I'm not saying anything.
All right. I'll go to Brad Gilley here. Write it down. Denny Hamlin is the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series champion.
Black flag. Oh. Can you add 26, 27, 28 to that as well.
Doug, are we there? Are we ready?
I am jumping on the good ship, Denny Hamlin. Yes.
Whoa! Yeah.
Wow.
Denny Hamlin. This is. Woo. He has dealt with just so much this year that I.
Some of which he's created.
Of course he has. Yeah. He is. He is. Crapped in his own mess kit a couple of times.
This is a great show.
But I think after all is said and done, maybe this is the year. Through all this maelstrom that he's been through, that he wins the championship.
Alexis, what do you think?
Black flag. I can't tell you how many times I've said maybe this is the year, and it wasn't. So I'm just going to go back and look at what history tells me. And so until I get proven wrong, which happens quite often, I'm going to say black flag.
All right. Black flag. That's all.
Easy.
I think
how
Doug
was
set
Doug
up.
The most optimistic one in that question?
I would agree.
Is this opposites day?
How is he the most optimistic guy in the room?
I don't.
We're living in bizarro world.
That's
we
never happened.
Well, Mr. Blue Sky.
But he does. He has overcome so much this year.
He'll get 61 wins this year, but not a championship.
He's probably going to, get above the 60 number and. Maybe.
As they say, we'll mark the tape.
He'll fall like a cheap 10 in the wind.
Please save this segment.
Yes, we will. We will. We will definitely. Okay, let's go to Doug Rice on this one. For long-term veteran drivers, a winless streak of over 30 races means they will never win again.
30 races without winning. Kyle Busch, is it?
A lot.
What?
79, I think, is where Kyle is right now.
Brad's over 30 now.
Maybe you'll never win again.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought this was a layup.
Yes, I know.
I'm trying to be nice.
Quick on the Denny Hamlin.
Yes, yeah, you're done.
All right. You're done. All right.
Sorry.
Alexis, is that the way?
Black flag. The black flag. That's crazy. I mean, 30, yes, is a lot, but no, absolutely not. Drivers have come back from that before.
Please, somebody say, you know, he didn't forget how to drive. Maybe they do.
Maybe you do.
Maybe you do. You would know that more than
Yeah, you don't. You don't forget how to drive. You forget what the feel of the car you're looking for. You forget what you want the car to tell you. You do lose that. I lost it. I watched my dad lose it. I watched Bobby Allison lose it. I watched Darrell Waltrip lose it. They were still great drivers and great guys. You know what I mean? Great competitors. They just lost that feel they were looking for. So I'm gonna give it black flag too, because I've seen guys come back. Especially at a time when, look at this list. We've got 10 million people who have won one race. You know what I mean? We've got only 3 or 4 people who have won multiple races, but we've got a lot of people on this list who have won one.
Brad?
Only because we're in the bizarro world, I'll have to go the opposite of Doug and say, green flag, never again.
That's it. Done.
All right.
The chicken. Let's do one more.
Oh.
I got time for one more. We'll start with Alexis on this one.
Let's have the music
It went away.
Oh, gosh.
That's because I...
Man, we timed out.
It said I'm done with this.
We didn't pay the rights.
Yeah, we got to pay the rights.
We have a music
for if we go over the limit.
Yeah. Alexis, it's mid-August. I'm done with summer weather.
Yeah, green flag. Absolutely. 1,000%. We had a faux fall here in Charlotte last week.
Yeah.
It had some rain involved in it, which was super annoying. But the cool weather, chef's kiss.
There you go.
Yeah.
Kyle?
I don't know. What were we saying? Green flag? Yes.
Yes.
I'm done with summer.
You're done.
I've been done with summer, man.
All right. How about it, Brad?
You know what? I'm actually going to say green flag only because it was like 108 degrees riding through the panhandle.
Wow.
So,
what's the temperature in Texas?
That's when things stop working.
Yeah. What's the temperature in Texas today, Brad?
I think it's about 95. We have a cold front.
Yeah.
And Doug?
Green flag, yeah. I'm ready because cooler weather means football and Halloween.
There we go. There we go.
And Halloween.
Halloween means candy.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Hey now.
Reese's.
Yeah.
And it's it.
Reese's. That's funny. That one pops right up.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yeah. Comes straight
but
up.
But it
has
to be like the seasonal Reese's, not just a regular Reese's.
What's a seasonal Reese's?
Like you get the pumpkin
trees or the pumpkin
ones?
Or the egg or whatever for
inside
whatever.
Inside the Reese's?
Like
the
shapes.
Oh, they're shapes
like
that.
Yeah, like the seasonal ones that are for different. Right. Yeah, because the chocolate to peanut butter ratio is better.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
I would agree with you on that.
Yes.
Yeah, green flag.
Green flag. Green flag.
It's not
green
like it's a pumpkin spice Reese, though, is
it?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
Negative.
Okay, good.
Wow.
I was a little worried.
Wow.
All right, take us to commercial. My gosh.
I'm a Kit Kat,
man. What is happening here?
All right, we'll be right back.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
You've only got so many weekends. Spend one doing something nobody saw coming. Is it a party, a festival, a race? It's all of that, and all at once. Concerts, tailgating, unbelievable action, 100 reasons to say this is actually awesome. It's fast, it's wild. It's the cutoff race in NASCAR's playoffs, the Wild Card Weekend. The Bank of America Roval 400, Sunday, October 5th. Get tickets at charlottemotorspeedway.com.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They
360 Sodas Briscoe.
Heading into turn number 7 as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Hopefully you've gotten the feeling that we really enjoy doing this show. We have a lot of fun. And it oftentimes goes off the rails. That seems to lean heavily when Kyle Petty shows up. I'm not casting aspersions, Kyle.
That's okay.
It seems more often.
I've been in the side ditch most of my life. But right. So if it's off the rails, I'm good.
Let's do this.
One last thing.
Brad Gilley.
Well, my one last thing, and you know me, I'm a positive person, but I love having healthy debate. We don't always have to agree, and it's fun to actually discuss different topics. But here recently, it seems like one of the topics in our sport is the should or should we not have a playoffs. We're going to have a playoffs. That's just simply the way it is. I'm all about the debate if you want to debate the format and do a bunch of different things and all of that. But it seems like there's been a lot more negativity swimming around, especially considering that we just had Alex Palou secure the IndyCar Championship with 2 races to go. I don't know that that's something we want in our sport. But hey, if we want to debate the playoff system that we have, let's do it. Let's have fun. That's where better ideas come from. But let's debate things productively. And I don't think saying don't do a playoffs at all is productive because I don't think that'll change.
All right, let's roll over to Kyle Petty. One last thing.
Same type of flow here. I think a healthy debate is good. We had one of our prominent members of the NASCAR community, Dale Jr., criticize the next-gen car the other day. And I don't think that criticism is deserved in a lot of ways. We have not raced stock cars since about 1958. Okay. We don't race stock cars. We race NASCARs. This is the NASCAR car that we have today. People complained in the 70s when they went to tubular chassis. They complained when we went to radial tires. They've complained all along as the progression of the cars. We were still racing cars with carburetors when you couldn't go to your local auto parts store and buy a carburetor. It was an antiquated car that we were racing, and people seemed to want to have that antiquated car. This car jumped leap years ahead. We have to adjust to it. The aero thing is an issue, but it's been an issue since 1982. So I don't want to hear it anymore. We hear it every week, but it's been an issue since 82. This is the car we have. This is the racing we have. Embrace it. Enjoy it. We're seeing some spectacular stuff on the racetrack, and I think it's only going to get better.
You know, it's funny because mine, it was more spurred from a conversation we had in the break about things that we'll miss that our kids do now when they're gone. But just listening to you and listening to Brad, like, enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment that you're in, because sometimes it might seem like what's happening in that moment is not what you want. But when that's gone, you're most likely going to miss it because it might not be replaced by something better. So, you know.
Along those lines, where I was going to go with my one last thing, people are already kind of whining. Well, SVG wins all the road course races. Were you around when Jimmy Johnson won 5 titles in a row? Were you around when Jeff Gordon put us to sleep every other week by winning by 10 laps? Apparently not. There's always going to be a dominant player. And this year, it just happens to be a guy from New Zealand on the road course.
Those are the things that people look back on now and say were the glory years, by the way.
And they say, I was there.
Right.
I was there. I watched it.
So enjoy the moment here. This guy's doing unheard of things, and it doesn't look like he's going to stop anytime soon. But eventually, the pony ride will come to an end, and it'll be done. But let's enjoy what he's doing right now. It's spectacular. So that's my one last thing. They'll head up to Richmond this weekend, Saturday night, under the lights on a NASCAR short track. Hopefully see some fireworks in the dark. For David Stiles and Kent Bernhardt, Brad Gilley, Kyle Petty, Alexis Erickson, I'm Doug Rice. Join us back here next week as we get together for a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. and by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.